Welcome to another episode of the Smiles Ahead podcast, powered by Burrow, Welshel, and Culp Orthodontics. Today we have a special episode where we're bringing my buddy on, Eric Turner. He is a general dentist right here in Charlotte and is going to talk to us a little bit about his story and some special stuff that I think will really interest the whole audience. So, Eric, thanks for having us on, man.
This is gonna take some getting used to, man.
Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
this big commanding voice, and I gotta you know, crank up my volume a little bit here.
Jump on it. So, little background: Eric and I have known each other for years. When he was associated in another practice, and he's now started his own practice. It's done, very successful in the first few years that it's opened. So, congratulations on that.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that journey, little quick. 30-second synopsis. I know it could be 30. It could be 3 hours. We could sit here and talk about that.
That was a long story. But I was raised in Philadelphia. I trained in Philadelphia at Temple, and worked up there. My wife is from Florida, and I got tired of her begging me to move to Florida. So I said, all right, we'll move south, but I will perish if we move. Yeah,
somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah. So we found. I mean, it is. I can't even tell you, man. We found Charlotte. We loved it, and it was literally dead in the middle. It was like 9 hours to Philly, 9 hours to Sarasota. So perfect. It worked out well. Came down here, worked in South Carolina, where you took me under your wing.
Yep.
And when it was time to start my own, So opened up the practice with a heavy focus on the newer technologies, 3D scanning, cone beam, just trying to use a lot of technology that is. It's kind of on like the cutting edge now, and it evolves monthly. I'm sure you've seen it, with 3D printers and all these other things. So just trying to get into that to really maximize outcomes.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of wanted to bring you on as one of the first dental guests, because it's really applicable to the audience here. We always talk about high technologies and, we have the highest technology. This is going to be great. But how does that transfer to the patient experience? We have really, really good technology, but how is that going to help me as the patient?
Well, I think as well as I do. I think half of it is just, making sure that you are on the leading edge of things.
Yeah.
And I don't think people want to see someone doing everything the old school way. Are there some old school ways that are as good or sometimes even better than the new school ways? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
As we go on in our journeys, we're still early enough in our careers where technology can evolve and we can implement it responsibly, and
right.
It can lead to more precision, just better patient outcomes, better treatment, better comfort, which is what I'm trying to focus on.
Yeah, that's awesome. So a big topic that we'll dive right into, because everyone talks about the dentist and the fear of the dentist. And what's the biggest fear of the dentist?
I don't think anyone's afraid of the dentist.
No, right? You go to this guy, he's going to make you completely calm. But you're still going to have those anxieties. They bring out that what most people think is a big needle. It's a tiny, tiny little needle. But to everyone's eyes, it's this big,
it's massive,
needle.
It's gigantic, yeah.
Which is not a big deal to us, because we do it all the time and we know the deal. But when you're talking to patients, that is a big fear of people coming in. I want to get numb, but do I have to do the shot? How has that evolved? How has technology helped that? Is there any improvements on that you can talk about?
Yeah, 100%. So, ever since we were in school, and probably some 50 or 100 years before we were in school, everyone's been numbing lower teeth, especially lower back teeth, the same way, right? We all learned the same inferior alveolar nerve block. And after a certain point, I started thinking to myself, this is such a strangely inaccurate technique. Like, the most widely used technique.
Yep.
We've been talking about it. It amounts to, little more than just like, get it around the right area where you think the nerve might be, and then put the numbing medicine right in here. And hopefully you get enough medicine, close enough to the nerve so the patient, and then you're sitting there, are you numb yet, Mrs. Jones? I don't know. Are you numb yet? I don't know. And then it's like, you say your lip's a little tingly. Let's go ahead and see if we can get started. And we start doing our work and you can still feel it.
Yeah.
That's the nightmare, right? That's the awful, awful thing that everybody thinks about.
Yeah.
So I started using all the technology that I put in my office to make things a little more streamlined, a little more precise.
Mm-hmm.
So I started targeting my injections.
Now tell us a little bit about targeting injections. You have a little, for the people watching, little model here. We'll try to explain it.
Yeah, hopefully this will translate well. But if you can imagine, trying to, I can see over there. Yeah, there we go. So, trying to numb some of these back teeth requires not only just us, putting a little bit of anesthetic near the tooth, which we can for all upper teeth and for some lower front teeth, but for these lower back teeth, we're relegated to basically trying to get the anesthetic way, 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 way back here. It's like, you know, it's almost on like the other side of the planet. You know, when it, if you think about, you know, where the teeth are versus where the nerve is, you sit there and you think to yourself, all right, well, I was taught to inject in this way and try to get enough of the anesthetic around right in here and hopefully it's there. But the reality is, I mean, you know as well as I do, you can't see where the nerve is
right
in the mouth. Yep. Like, you know, it's, again, we were all trained, oh, you look for this one little ligament and you go, it's like, you know, getting
it's like directions. The triangle, they said, yeah, you put like it over the second premolar.
It's like directions to grandma's house, right? It's like turn right at the red barn, but the second red barn, that's kind of like less red than the first, you know, so it's all these like vague landmarks. So I started saying to myself, this is kind of silly. Why don't we just get a CT scan of the jawbone, get a scan of the teeth, merge the two data sets so you know exactly the shape of the teeth and you can replicate the shape of the teeth and you know exactly where those teeth are relative to the position of the nerve. That never changes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, when patients open or they close or whatever it is, the tooth is still the same distance and location away from where the nerve is.
Yeah.
So I used a little bit of 3D modeling and a little 3D design know-how to fabricate a little thing that kind of snaps onto the teeth and allows us to guide our injection exactly to where the nerve is.
So
instead of like 3, 4, 5 injections and hoping, oh man, I hope they're numb, I hope I got enough of the anesthetic where the nerve is, now you know that all of the anesthetic in that first dose went right to the nerve, no need for a second shot, no need to worry about, oh, are they numb, are they not?
Yeah.
You're numb.
I was going to say, that's the biggest thing that people fear, like, am I numb? Are they going? Because they're saying, is your bottom lip, like, I don't know, is it numb? So, you heard it here first, audience. If you go to Dr. Turner here, he's not going to miss, right? So that's huge, because as someone who has done that as well and in dental school, I learned the same way you did. Open up. There's a little – these landmarks. I like your analogy where directions used to be, if you go over the train tracks, you've gone too far, or take a right where the red brick is. And, you know, sometimes you missed it, sometimes you made it, but now you can throw it in Waze or Google Maps and it gets you – right there and tells you exactly. Yeah,
that's a really good analogy, right? Like, this is, I've basically come out with the Waze or Google Maps to the nerve.
To the nerve. There you go.
So, you know, and I think, I mean, the biggest thing that it's done is it's made anesthesia predictable.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, and again, when I can't remember when the last time was, you may have, you know, used some anesthesia. I'm not sure if you do it daily, but
10 years.
And upper tooth, that's like tooth is there, put the anesthetic right here, and it's numb 10 times out of 10. But the lower teeth, it's always been a guessing game. And some people's jaws have, you know, they may have like a little landmark that makes the needle not be able to get to where you want it to go using the original, you know, technique that we all learned.
So, right.
Yeah, just trying to make everything a little bit more predictable, a little bit more precise and reliable. So, you know, you come to dentistry on Monroe, you get a little anesthesia, it's going to work.
It's going to work.
Period.
And it's kind of cool to see the technology. If you can't see it on the video and just listen on the podcast, it's really, really cool. You know, the exact replica of the teeth, the jaw there. And
this is actually me, by the way.
Oh, that's you. There you go. There you go. Well, yeah, I mean, it's super great technology. It's amazing what's come out. And as that Turner was saying, it's changing every day. And he's always been someone that stayed on top of it. So I always want to get him in there. Whenever I stop by his office, I'm like, what kind of toys do you have now? You know, he's always got something where he's, whether, you know, and he'll be like, this one works well, this one doesn't. So we cut this one. So I think that
I'm going to tell you what, man.
You're pretty good at that too, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. One of the most frustrating things about, you know, just getting into this whole realm of 3D printing and digital this and scanning and all these other things and 3D modeling. You know, there are so many things that work well, and there are so many things that you're told work well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you got to buy this new machine, doctor. Oh, it's going to work really, really well. It's going to help you with all your patients. And then you get it, or you try their, you know, the new, you know, 3D printing resin, and they say, oh, it's so much better than the last one. It's like, oh, well, great. How much better is the next iteration going to be?
Yeah.
So it's always a guessing game trying to figure out, you know, what iteration to try to jump in and start to implement. But I've been really lucky with everything that we've got so far. We've kind of dialed in what works. Yeah. And what doesn't work, what's new school and useful, and what you still need to do a little bit of old school stuff for.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Which if you can get that combination down, you're right. Now, I won't speak for you. I've seen some of your cases that look beautiful, but is there something certain, specific right now that you are just loving doing? Like if something comes in the office type of cases, whether that be, veneers, crowns, just run-of-the-mill dentistry, root canals.
I'll tell you, if there was one thing that I could do every single day for the rest of my career, it would be crowns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, Yeah, fillings are fine, you know, but they're so run of the mill anymore. It doesn't really drive me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just crowns. I mean, even veneers. It's like, you know, if you've done some veneers, you've done veneers.
Yeah.
Right. And yes, you can hone your skills with the ceramist and making things look more realistic and getting better tissue response. But when it comes to crowns, for some reason, I have this little thing in like the back of my mind. If you remember going back to dental school, you know, it was always, you know, we gotta make sure it's shaped like this, and
right.
make sure you have enough, you know, retention form. Make sure the tooth is shaped exactly like this. Don't deviate more than 5 degrees, whatever it is. I still have that in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Literally every time I do a crown, it's you know, I look at the crown prep and I think to myself, would this pass? Because the requirements back when we were in school were so much stronger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, than they are when you're out in practice. When you're out in practice, no one's watching you.
Nope.
Just still in the back of my mind, it's always like, is this perfect?
Yeah.
Is this crown going to stay on?
So yeah, yeah.
It's definitely something that I try to hone my skills with every single time I do a crown. But yeah, you know, doing full mouth crowns, fixing people's bites with crowns, fixing the way people chew and the way that they can actually use their teeth. I mean, it's great to make them look beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Before and after is always amazing. But what really kind of, you know, what really gets me going is when we get the patients in there who've kind of beaten up their own teeth and they've needed, you know, they need like every tooth in their mouth is restored and, you know, reinforced from the outside, right? I need a new, hard, durable smile doing that. That's great.
And, you know, we talk about that in ortho all the time. It's always fun to come in and people are like, oh, yeah, the braces, you're going to get this pretty smile. It's like, yeah, that's fun and cool. But the main thing is, let's get you a bite where
you're going to chew so much
better. Yeah, like, we as a practitioner, we see, no, you're actually going to be able to eat a sandwich. And you're not that, you know, that meat's not going to stay in the middle.
Yeah,
you can tear everything
apart. You're going to be able to tear pizza.
Yeah. but, yeah, getting back to crowns, a good point, and we talk about it a lot with our patients too, and, you know, they talk about their dentist wants to do this and this. Talk a little bit about the value of a crown. So some people will be like, hey, I got this big filling here. I think we're just going to watch it. Maybe we'll patch it up a little bit for a couple $100 versus doing maybe a $1,500, $2,000 crown. But where's the value in that? Because, you know, I try to explain that to the people.
So, I mean, in my opinion, almost, you know, somewhat maybe semi-jaded opinion. Mm-hmm. The value is there when the work is done well.
Yeah. Right?
Because, you know, you can go to someone and they can do a crown for you, and then, you know, the next day you bite down on it wrong and it breaks. Yep. You know, or the tooth ends up, you know, needing more treatment, or the crown just comes off, or whatever it is. The value in a crown is when it's done well, so that the tooth is stronger than it was before, you know, with, you know, a tooth with a big cavity or a really big filling. It's, you know, the filling's like 70% of the tooth. At some point, that tooth is going to break, or maybe it already has broken, right? Or it's cracking, and then that tooth's going to need to be taken out. So being able to reinforce the tooth with a hard ceramic coating, so that, and again, when it's done right, when it's, you know, when the tooth underneath is designed well, that crown doesn't come off, that crown doesn't break. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen some of the ads for the new crown materials they have, but they're putting crowns on, you know, blocks of wood, hitting them with sledgehammers.
Oh, yeah.
It just embeds into the wood.
It's all good. Yeah. So it sounds like timing is huge, too. So those people that just keep putting them off, you know, we always encourage. We're like, hey, if your dentist recommends it, like, they did it for a reason. They're not, you know, the thought process is like, oh, they just want me to do the more expensive one. It's like, well, if you look at the time value of it, you're going to patch that cavity up 3 times, and then the tooth's going to crack. You're going to be in pain on a Saturday. Then you're going to have a root canal or an implant. That's going to be even worse. So
I'm telling you, I don't think people dislike dentistry. I think people dislike poorly done dentistry.
Yes.
And people dislike the results of waiting to do good dentistry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's, you know, is dentistry expensive? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's a worthwhile investment is usually going to be expensive. It's just a matter of, you know, making sure you get it done in a way that it was worthwhile.
Right, right. Yeah, I think you're totally right on that. You never hear of somebody that got like a full mouth, you know, rehab and didn't love it, didn't like it, didn't think the value was there if they got it done right and it worked.
Exactly.
Right? You know,
exactly.
I mean, you hear people's testimonials all the time about changing their lives and things. So I personally have seen Dr. Turner's work. It's beautiful. It's great.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
So tell the audience, won't keep you any longer, but tell the audience where they can find you, social media, website.
Yeah, for sure. The practice is Dentistry on Monroe, Dr. Eric Turner, Eric with a C, if you're curious. Practices at 1620 Oakhurst Commons Drive in the Oakhurst neighborhood, right outside of Cotswold.
Yep.
So you know the whole Monroe Road corridor, that Mora corridor. A lot of great businesses going up there. A lot of great housing going up there. I mean, it's a building neighborhood. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Website's www.dentistryonmonroe.com. Office at Dentistry on Monroe is where people can email us. Phone number is 980-423-1984. Again, it's Dentistry on Monroe. A lot of people call in. They're like, "You're in Monroe, right?" That was my fault. Right? Didn't take into consideration that there's a city called Monroe, but we are not in Monroe, North Carolina. We are on Monroe Road.
Yeah.
In Oakhurst.
Great location. Great place where stuff seems to be popping off. Yeah. Good. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes too. But Eric, thanks so much for coming on, and we will see you next time for another episode of the Smiles Ahead podcast.
Cheers, man. Thanks so much. Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Smiles Ahead podcast powered by Burrow, Welchel, and Culp Orthodontics. Be sure to leave a rating, hit that subscribe button, and if you have more questions, you can reach out to me directly at sam@bwcortho.com. That's sam@bwcortho.com. You can also visit our website, bwcortho.com, and we will be happy to answer any questions you might have.